Welcome back to the Race Nuts Podcast. It's episode 32. Got a lot to go through this weekend after a wet and wild weekend at Albert Park for the Australian Grand Prix. We've got Formula One, we've got supercars, F2, F3, Porsche Carrera Cup, some breaking news as well to go through. But before we get into that, Ash, mate, how you been?
I've been good, mate. I've been going through the motions with you at Albert Park, and for the last week with said breaking news, it's all been happening, and I'm ready to get stuck into it. First of all, though, we've got a little new, a side note to make. Episode 32, we thought we'd look up whose race number was 32, and we came up with Ricky Craven from NASCAR from 2001 to 2004. So that's this week's race number, podcast number. I haven't put a title to it yet. But anyway, to the breaking news, Dan, if you would like to kick us off there.
Well, that of course is, and this is breaking, we are recording this at 8:15 PM Melbourne time on Thursday the 20th. And the news has just come through that legendary F1 team owner and mentor, Eddie Jordan, has passed away at the age of 76.
Yep, so he was, the reports are reading that he was ill for quite a while there, just not on a good bill of health. And he was in South Africa when he's passed away. Do you want to give us a bit of a brief rundown on his Eddie's achievements, Dan?
Yeah, sure. Just briefly, Eddie has been involved in motorsports since the mid-70s when he raced in karts. I believe he won the Irish Kart Championship in 1971. He then moved into Formula Ford, followed by he ran Formula Ford for a few years and then started into team management at the end of 1979 when he started Eddie Jordan Racing. With Eddie Jordan Racing in, I think it was Formula 3000. He had a few drivers in that time, some of which were Ayrton Senna and... He managed Martin Brundle during his Formula 3000 years when he was fighting Ayrton Senna. That's where that little mix-up has come up with. Same with Johnny Herbert, I believe the year later. Obviously, he's mentored plenty of drivers in his time. When he owned Jordan Grand Prix, which he founded in 1971. I believe he sold that. Yeah, he sold that to. Sold that in 2002, and that became BAR. BAR is British Automotive Team. This is all very, we have not had a lot of time to read up on his career, but amongst drivers that he's mentored throughout his time in Formula 1 includes Damon Hill, Michael Schumacher, Giulio Alesi, Rubens Barrichello, Fisichella, Heinz Fensel, of course, Johnny Herbert, Eddie Irvine, Ralph Schumacher, Juno Trulli, Martin Brundle, and John Watson. Now, Michael Schumacher obviously being the biggest name here. It was actually in Eddie's team when Michael got his start. So, in 1991, one of Eddie's Formula One drivers got charged with assault in the United Kingdom and was sentenced to, I believe, it was 3 months in jail. And because of that, Eddie Jordan suddenly needed the driver for the 1991 Belgian Grand Prix. And Michael was, at the time, racing GT cars for Mercedes. And through some connections, Michael landed at the top of his list. And for a car that was not that great at the time, I think Michael put it 7th in qualifying when his teammate qualified 11th or 12th. And while he didn't finish the race, he only made it to the top of Urus and Radeon before the gearbox failed. That was obviously enough for Michael to be immediately poached by rival team Benetton, and this caused a huge drama because there was a whole contract fight over this because Michael had used a technicality to get out of it, and there's a whole drama with that. Something similar happened a few years later with Michael's brother, because Michael wasn't real happy how he's been treated, mainly at the 1998 Belgium Grand Prix, I believe it was, where Jordan was actually on for their first win, and Ralph was instructed to hold behind his teammate Hans Harald Fenzenberger to claim second, and because of that, Michael cracked it royally and actually paid out Ralph's contract to Jordan so he could leave. That was in the 1999 season, sorry, not 1997. As I mentioned, obviously he sold the team in 2002. Throughout the years, primarily in 2009, he joined the BBC BBC broadcast of Formula One. Yeah. And the time since, he's been in and out of all kinds of broadcasts, including Sky. And as we obviously touch on now, because he's passed away, but in late last year, let me just find it so I don't say the incorrect diagnosis. So late last year, he was diagnosed with an aggressive form of prostate and bladder cancer, and passed away obviously today. So that's a very short look on synopsis on Eddie Jordan's very long career and very long life.
It's just a little side thing, but I do have a Hot Wheels of one of his cars. I'll see if I can line that up with the camera. Where am I? There we go. Just for those people. Just when I heard the news, I was like, I thought I have one of these cars around, and I do. Just a little side piece there. First of all, most sincere, I'm struggling to think of the word here.
Thoughts, prayers?
Yeah, most sincere thoughts to family and friends of Eddie Jordan, and great loss to his family, friends, and the wider motorsport community.
Formula One will be hurting tonight.
Yes, I wouldn't be surprised if it was something we saw in Shanghai memorial.
I reckon we'll definitely get a minute of silence.
Yeah,
prior to the Grand Prix start.
So that will be, a good tribute, a tribute to a man who put so much into a sport so many people love.
He loved much himself.
Yes.
To be all the way involved all the way through his entire career, even after he was no longer financially part
of the,
or the sport.
So it's just fucking shit to kick the podcast off like that, but fucking it's happened, and we can only hope that the greatest of tributes are made to the man, the legend himself, Eddie Jordan. So, cracking on here, Dan, we have got, earlier in the week coming out of the Oz Grand Prix, we had I can't remember exactly which race it was, but we had a incident with Ryan.
It was race 5, which is the second race of the weekend.
We had an incident between Ryan Wood and Jack LeBrock from the Erebus Garage. So I believe it was on the first lap of their racing lap. Good conditions and stuff on track. Nothing a problem there. No rain or anything. That was only on Sunday. And we had LeBrock taking a hit from Ryan Wood behind. Had a lot of news because there was a lot of people had opinions on how this went down. Did you want to break down after the fact of this collision? What happened?
So in the aftermath of the collision, both Shane Van Gisbergen and Scott McLaughlin, who obviously would have been watching from the United States, had their opinions of it.
Yep.
Now, their opinion was it was not a fair ruling because Ryan Wood suffered a drive-through penalty due to that contact, obviously, in a race that short, that's pretty much race done. He's out of competition until the safety car. And then at some point afterwards, Shane Van Gisbergen posted, as well as Apex Hunters United, which obviously a podcast Shane Van Gisbergen and Scott Pye co-founded some time ago and is now currently hosted by Scott Pye and Elliot Barber, posted the same screenshot from the judicial camera from on board.
Yep.
Yeah, this caused... It was a bit of, you know, your normal discourse about it, as you kind of expect for this sort of thing. But what was quite surprising was the following day of both of them pulling it down, claiming that Ryan Wood was at risk of a penalty for if he didn't. Now, while there is a rule that drivers aren't allowed to share any footage or screenshots from the judicial cameras, it could be argued that this was from a third party. Obviously, Ryan Wood is friends with Shane Van Gisbergen, so it's not rocket science to think that he's probably been the one to put it through.
Yeah, send it through and be like, hey, what the fuck? Do you think of this, Shane, kind of thing? Yeah. Yep. Not saying he did, but yeah.
And then Shane's taken it upon himself to post it and send it to other people who have posted it again.
Yeah.
So this initially raised our eyebrows because supercars are very sensitive over really any discord they don't like. We've known this in the past. They really do not like it. A prime example, and there's been form with this with Apex Hunters United. Obviously, they are very upfront, and some would call them controversial because they just call it as they see it. That's up to individuals to decide if they like that or not. But there's been definitely pushback from the category from because of their views. Now, that was a bit of a concern. Is this the category trying to stop discourse? But on the other hand, there's concern over. So obviously, this Formula One weekend, Formula One holds a very tight grip on the showing rights.
Yeah.
Supercars aren't allowed to post anything from the Grand Prix. No highlights, nothing. If you go highlights on YouTube, you'll find absolutely nothing from supercars. So the argument's been made of that, and this is what the team has said, because the team actually requested Shane Van Gisbergen and Apex Hunters United pull this down. Obviously, the team's been asked to do it, and the team's since asked them to do it, because obviously the team's on hook for the penalty. Apparently the reasoning being is that supercars don't want shit from Formula One about showing a single screenshot.
Yeah.
So that's sort of it's settled down now that both parties have pulled it down and said that's why they pulled it down, was avoid ruining Ryan Wood's weekend.
Yep.
So I don't think it's really going to go any further. There is precedent for this because in Scott McLaughlin in 2013 did the exact same thing and was fined $5,000. So I think the big concern there was not that there was a financial fine, but there could have been actually a sporting penalty from this.
Yeah. And, I mean, that's... For saying on social media coming across to motorsport, I think my stance, at least, is it's already out there. So many people... It would already be downloaded. It can pop up fucking anywhere.
It's already been reposted so many times. The damage is done.
Like, what are we... You know, like... Yeah, damage is done. Fucking... And supercars have a tendency to not save face. Their actions. As much as we love them... Just sometimes they're fucking PR work.
There's nothing wrong with constructive criticism.
Yeah.
Oh, so let's you wanna move on to the next story, Ash?
I would love to. So this one rattles me beehive a bit. F1 security fail. So we had two jokesters. All they had to do was have a lanyard with a fake security ID thing, a high-vis vest on, and a megaphone in hand. And they got past security, which I would be like, this is fucking atrocious. But we're also talking about an event that saw a total of 465,000 people over 4 days. That's a lot of people any given day.
Yeah. And there's, look, we're not saying this bloke's name is purely because we don't want to give them any. This, the, you know, all the articles making, like, oh, they're social media stars. Like, they're not. They're just two dickheads with an account. We're not going to give them any free advertising more than what they require.
Yeah.
But, sorry, but, if you look at the video, it's not even, it's a massive security blunder because the, sorry, I'm just trying to stop all the videos trying to play every time I open a speaker particle. The uniforms aren't even anywhere similar to the MSS security.
Yeah.
Yeah. And the lanyards look blank.
Yeah.
So it's bad enough they got into the circuit because obviously this is a, jokes aside and all this is a genuine security threat. Oh, as you can imagine, the Grand Prix would be a pretty high on the list target for anyone that wishes to do harm to a mass amount of people.
Yeah.
To fuck up this severely is worrying, and then have it so bad that their initial plan was just to get in the Grand Prix, but then they kept pushing it and they ended up in the paddock.
Yeah.
That's a real worry about all that, all everything that goes onto the back of that. So, in the, background of all this, the Australian Grand, not Australian Grand Prix, sorry, police are investigating. I'm not sure what they're planning to do, but the police are investigating, and so is there an internal review with the Australian Grand Prix Corporation with their security.
Yeah, and the reason this, personally shits me beyond anything is coming into gate 9 on, I believe it was Friday. I just had my lunch bag with me, and I had a can of Coke in there, and one of the security guards did the bag check. I'm like, yeah, just me lunch, mate. No fucking whackers here. He's like, no cans left. I'm like, oh, okay. I didn't see that anywhere on the restricted items list. I didn't know.
We questioned that, and old mate literally did not have an answer for me.
Yeah.
I said, where on the list does it say it?
And so it was power tripping hard. And so Mike ended up tipping out my Coke can and throwing it in the bin. But the fact my fucking Coke can couldn't get through, because I wanted that Coke that day. That's why I'm rolled up a little here. My Coke can couldn't get through, but 2 to 3 blokes, allowing for the person filming them, got through, is fucking beyond me. Like, that is, that is fucking outrageous. Like, and that's MSS putting everyone who attended lives at risk. Because if those guys, instead of a megaphone in hand, had some backpack detonator, and this is to an extreme cause here.
Yeah.
But
just, yeah, if, just avoid Pacific, so if I don't want to trip the algorithm.
Yeah, if their intentions were to harm people, piece of piss.
Yeah,
so,
yeah, no.
Fuck you, MSS.
And security around racetracks in general has been poor.
Like, yes.
We've spoken many times about Sandown. And how horrible Sandown has been every time we've gone with security. Security has been an issue at Sandown, and that's a different mob again. I can't remember. Which one's Sandown? They're Millennium Security?
Oh, Sandown. Sounds about right.
Yeah.
But regardless, all these mobs are like, seem to be run by the same fucking group.
Yeah,
like it'd surely be all under one umbrella,
and ran poorly. Like gate 9, the gate we entered over the weekend, I heard from other people that they were power tripping.
Yeah,
and like I said, we've had this heaps of times at Sandown. Like, for prime example, about 6 months ago, we were at Sandown spectating for a Vic State round. We were up on the grass area. Old mate informed us that we couldn't drink alcohol that we'd brought in.
Yeah.
Okay, fine. No signage, no backpacks, nothing. You just zoomed up. Then we used the same can. So we finished our cans. and we ripped one of them in half for the purposes of making an oil tray for the barbecue.
Yeah.
They zoomed back seeing that and then yelled at us again. And as we try to explain, there's no alcohol in it, you dickhead. It's an empty can, so the grease doesn't just pour onto the grass and start a fire.
Yeah.
And then informed us that if they saw it again, they'd kick us out. Even though that, so we're, what, one of four cars on this hill? That
yeah,
on easily. A supercar weekend would have, like, easily a couple thousand people on it.
Yeah. Yeah,
and
absolutely.
And I really should have complained because they spent the rest of the afternoon zooming up and down in their Hilux at full power, at full speed. There were, you know, with kids and stuff around.
Yeah.
And really, like, I'd argue it was harassment. They really did keep coming back to us and doing laps around our camp looking for us drinking drinks.
Yeah. It's just...
At a Vic state round.
Absolutely. And, like, it's... I don't know. They need to be tested for competency.
Yeah.
I don't want to get stuck on that too much because they're fucking... They're shit as. We've next up got, going down to the coldest part of Australia, Tassie has struck a deal to 2027. You caught up on this one earlier, Dan. I actually, this when you told me before, it was actually the first time I've caught wind of it. Do you want to break that down on any details we have for that?
Yeah, so it's a $6 million deal, extending the deal. Sorry, I'm just quickly trying to find. Yeah, that one says three-year deal, but it says, so this must have been included this year. Three-year deal that include that for the 2027.
Yep.
So it's a at 4 point value at okay speed cap. If it's a $6 million deal, why does it say it's a, okay? It's a $6 million funding boost. Okay, so it's a $6 million funding boost to the event, but the event's meant to be worth $4.1 million to the government. That's why it says that. Basically, there's not much to say. It just pretty much secures Simmons Plains on the calendar, at least for another 3 years, including this year. We will be there in person in May for the Tasmanian 440 Super Sprint.
Yeah, which will always be good. It's always a great racetrack, so I'm glad that they have continued on with their...
It's great, and it's going to be a great event this year with Super 2. I can't imagine a track that's going to be more loose to have Super 2 at.
Yeah. Absolutely. Super 2's fucking... Tassie was made... Simmons Plains was made for Super 2.
Yeah, just carnage.
Yeah, when you really think about how that's all going to go, made for it.
All right, mate. Let's move on to the next big ticket item.
All right. So, next up, we've got... As we've just mentioned before, we had the Australian Grand Prix just by, and this week we have the Shanghai Grand Prix coming up. So we've actually found some, well, we haven't found it, but dramas have been found in terms of getting equipment across from Australia. I believe they're stuck at Tullamarine Airport, whether that's accurate as of me saying this, I'm not sure.
Not Tullamarine, I believe a lot of it was at Avalon, and I know that because I watched a lot of it go to Avalon. In my truck on Monday morning and Monday afternoon. But basically, yeah, through some... apparently, one of the aircraft chartered for Formula One had a mechanical failure, and this in turn has delayed some of the cars that would normally be flying in on Monday morning. They have not rocked up until Wednesday night.
Yep.
China's time. And apparently, by looks at the Pirelli... plane with all their tyres aren't going to rock up until Thursday morning, which will be a few hours from now. So apparently the Formula One's already made concessions that any staff related to prepping wheels and tyres have added another 2 hours to their curfew times to allow them more, obviously allow them to get more stuck into their work prepping tyres for FP1. But there was a real risk there for a little bit that there could be that half the grid could be missing for FP1, which I think in that case they'd probably just cancel FP1 to keep it fair and square. as that this is not totally unprecedented. I think it was 2 years ago, Haas's plane, there was a delay in Haas's stuff for pre-season testing. So Formula One gave, they missed the first day, so Formula One gave them an extra 3 hours a day to make up for the day they'd missed.
Yep. So, I mean, when you're a worldwide sport, this...
It happens.
Yeah. It happens. And
it's just one of those things.
Yeah. You can't do anything about it necessarily. Yeah. It's just... Yeah, just transport, logistics, you know, they can fail.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, well, speaking of logistics, do we want to move on to our final story of the day, mate?
So, talking about shipping stuff across the open ocean and flying stuff around, I'm not exactly sure of a mode of transport we're going here, but we've got some of the, it was Free Championships he won?
Free-time
champion Scott McLaughlin. He's got a couple of his V8 supercar cars going across to America. Once again, this is a thing where I somehow completely missed, so I'm going to hand the baton to Dan.
So basically, these are cars that were run under the Penske ownership. So these cars technically owned to Roger Penske in the United States. There's nothing crazy new. There's a couple of Mustangs already over there. Scott's 2018 championship FGX Ford Falcon is already over there at the Roger Penske factory / museum. The two cars going over are Scott's two last cars. So the first one is... Ooh, cheers, web page, for just closing me at a great time. That was elite. So the... So the two chassis going on are DJR TP06 and DJR TP07. So 06 ran the 2019 season from the first round all the way through the Gold Coast. This is, of course, the car that Scott and Alex Premat won the controversial 2019 Bathurst 1000 in. And then in that one Bathurst, and then 2 weeks later, Scott rode it off at Gold Coast pretty severely. This is actually the car that you might remember this crash as. This is the car that ended up on its side during, I think it was qualifying or practice, and Shane Van Gisbergen actually pulled up behind it and climbed the car to help Scott climb out the driver's door that was, it was laying on its passenger side.
Yeah, feels like it's tickling something in my brain.
Yeah, so the car was, as in terms of racing, the car was a complete write-off. It would never race again.
Yeah.
It was, obviously, it's been repaired, and it looks just fine now. The second car that's going, ending in 07, is the car that replaced that one for the last two rounds of 2019.
Yep.
And saw Scott through the 2020 title push during the COVID year. So it's, yeah. So first car is majority 2019 championship win and Bathurst 1000 winner. And the second car is his 2020 championship winner. And so, yeah, they're off to Roger Penske's factory in the United States.
Beautiful. All right. Well, that sums up our news segment that we have for you today. Cracking on into our OzGP review. So.
Yeah, I think we'll just go category by category, mate.
Yeah, why not? Do we want to start from Porsche and work our way up?
Start with the big tickets and work our way down.
All right, that way we shall go.
All right, so obviously Formula One, the Louis Vuitton Australian Grand Prix. Bit of a rough one for Ollie Bearman starting Friday. Two crashes in practice one and practice two. The first one was pretty heavy and did a lot of damage. The second one...
practice two. He rode off in practice one and came back in practice three.
That's right. Sorry, I misremembered. And then he hit the wall in practice three.
Yep. So he got 13 and a half laps before qualifying, I believe. Yeah.
And that, let's see, that resulted in him in qualifying. Oh, that's right. He didn't even qualify. He didn't start qualifying. So he actually missed qualifying because of that crash of practice three. Obviously, Lando Norris took pole with a 1 minute 15 point. Oh, no, sorry, that's the Q1 time. Never mind. Google doesn't want to play with me today. Norris took pole from Piastri, followed by a second row of Verstappen and Norris. Lewis Hamilton, in his debut for Ferrari, qualified behind Charles Leclerc in 8th.
Yeah.
For the Aussies, Jack Doohan down in 14th, which is ironic because he's number 7 and now he's in 14th because that was his old number 14. Really ironically. Liam Lawson down in 18th. That was a shocking qualifying for him in Red Bull. Hopefully it's not the kiss of death that it has been for the other Red Bull drivers that have sat in that seat alongside Max Verstappen. The Grand Prix, delayed start after there was a lot of conversation about all this rain. As we discussed later, the F2 race got cancelled. The F supercars race was abandoned due to the sheer amount of rain. Unfortunately, Isaac Hadjar's Formula 1 career...
shit the bed on fucking their outlap.
End at turn 2 on the outlap. It's classed as a DNF, but really it did not start.
Yeah.
And then it was just, with this heavy rain, it was just chaos afterwards. So on lap 1, we saw Jack Doohan lose it after on the straight after turn 6, and he was out immediately. Carlos Sainz lost it on turn 15 under safety car, and he was out. Fernando Alonso and Gabriel Bortoleto crashed on lap 32 and 45. I actually missed Alonso, so I timed a bathroom break just perfectly. I timed it as the safety car came out, and I was in and out in 15 minutes.
Yeah.
I haven't quite got around to... I've watched the first 20 minutes of the replay yet, but I haven't actually quite seen too much from Gabriel's crash.
I haven't seen much either. But the whole race, like, at time, I forgot who... Oh, I think it was Ollie. But when Oscar Piastri went off as well, Ollie Bearman actually went off as well in the same sequence of corners, which I don't believe was shown. I mean, that race was... The weather was... I sat down that day and just... I didn't move, not even to go take a piss. Like, it was a rough fucking day.
It was a good soaking.
Yeah.
My program I had in my bag got destroyed completely. Thankfully, the Grand Prix does sell them on the website. But, yeah, I've now paid $50 for a $20 book. Lawson was the next to crash on lap 46. I did see plenty of his crash because it was right in front of us again at turn 1, turn 2. An absolute carbon copy of Hadjar's crash. We're having a great Grand Prix. Oscar was slowly reeling in Norris. They had been told to hold position while going through the blue flags and then apparently was told to get going again. We didn't get the radio messages out of the track.
No.
But that all came to an absolute shit fight. Both McLarens on slicks, rain coming back in. And they're both off at turn 11. Turn 12, sorry. Norris reasonably recovered. Unfortunately, Oscar spun off and got stuck in the grass. He was able to back himself out, but by the time he dropped down to, I would say... 14th? Yeah.
14th.
But worked his way back up. For his sheer pace, a couple of pit stops. Obviously, he gained position when Lawson crashed a lap later. And the safety car didn't hurt him either. But more impressively, he took Lewis Hamilton around the outside of the high-speed chicane on the last lap to claim 9th.
Which was fucking insane.
Mm.
Like, the balls to do that. Just disrespect Lewis Hamilton like that. You don't fucking get that every day.
Mm. But, yeah, let's go to the final results here. We don't normally do this, but we will for the Australian Grand Prix. Final results, Lando Norris wins, lights the flag. Followed by Max Verstappen, George Russell, Kimi Antonelli, who had been dropped by a penalty but had that penalty later rescinded. So, 4 for his debut outing for the Italian. Alexander Albon in a Williams, 5th. That's insane. I know there was rain, but they qualified high as well. Both Williams qualified well, so the pace seems to be real in that car, at least
whatever
for now.
Carlos brought across from Ferrari, just fucking magic.
Yeah. Stroll finished at 6th, followed by Nico Hülkenberg at 7th, Charles Leclerc at 8th, Oscar Piastri 9th, Lewis Hamilton 10th, Pierre Gasly in 11th, Yuki Tsunoda in 12th, just missing out on points there for Yuki after a strong qualifying himself. Esteban Ocon in 13th, and in Oliver Bearman 14th, and then technically not classified in the World Championship because they all did not finish. Liam Lawson, Gabriel Bautista, Fernando Alonso, Carlos Sainz, Jack Doohan, and Isaac Hadjar. G'day, race fans. So we had recorded a full episode this week. Obviously, as you just heard, the end of our reviewing of Formula 1. We still were planning to go through F2, F3, Supercars, and Porsche Carrera Cup from the Australian Grand Prix. Unfortunately, we had a microphone disconnect. We thought we'd gotten away with it. Turns out we hadn't. So not until now, when I'm in the editing room putting the podcast together, they realised that we're missing the total tail end of the podcast. So we'll come back and we'll cover that next week, everything that we couldn't cover this week. And hopefully next week we'll be coming in with a bit more of a format or a bit of a revamp to make this show a little bit more streamlined, better, and make it easier for when mistakes like this do happen that we can slot stuff in. Until then, we'll see you next time.